Have you added safe gun storage to your holiday to-do list? Roughly 3/4 of fatal, unintentional shootings among children involved an unlocked and loaded firearm. That's according to the CDC. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. The Cincinnati Police Department has a new partnership with Cincinnati City Council to offer a temporary and voluntary way to store firearms outside of people's homes. Joining me now to discuss the program and how it works are Cincinnati City Council Member Anna Albee. Welcome back, Council Member Albee.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney. Thanks for being here, Vice Mayor Kearney.
Happy holidays, Lucy
May. Happy holidays to you, too.
Thank you.
And Cincinnati Children's Director of Trauma Services, Dr. Mira Kodagal. Welcome back, Dr. Kodagal.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Cincinnati Children's is a financial supporter of Cincinnati Public Radio. Councilmember Albee, what does the data show when it comes to unintentional shootings around the holidays? Is this an especially important time to be aware of gun safety?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anytime you have a large gathering of people in a house and you think about kids running around and maybe there's a gun out, in the home, and we know from national data, over half of gun owners have at least one gun in their house that's loaded and unlocked. So you can think about the risk that is to kids or just people who aren't familiar with guns. So this program is really intended to give folks, responsible gun owners, an option to be like, hey, I don't want to put anyone in my family at risk. We're going to have that gun out of the house while we have all these wonderful people here so we can have a fun and safe holiday.
Yeah. Dr. Kodagal, do you see an increase in accidental shooting deaths and injuries in children around the holidays at the hospital?
So we see firearm injuries, unfortunately, throughout the year. I think the unintentional injuries, which is what we like to call them because we believe they're preventable as opposed to accidents, and is we do see some around the holidays, but we also see them throughout the year. And I think it's really great that this program is getting started now, but we know it'll be something that works throughout the year for families and individuals in order to keep themselves safe.
And what are the biggest reasons that you hear behind those unintentional shootings? Is it the fact that there are firearms that are loaded and unlocked in people's homes?
Yeah, so about 40% of parents actually believe that their children don't know where the firearm is kept in the home. And that's actually 40% of families don't know accurately. So actually, erroneously, those children do know where they are. And about 22% wrongly believe that their child has never played with the weapon. So as we know, kids are curious. They're inquisitive. They want to be out in the world exploring, and they're going to explore all the things that they can find. And so as a result, you can see unintentional shootings when kids are picking up a weapon, not recognizing the potential for harm.
Yeah. Vice Mayor Kearney, we're talking about children, but this is also an issue for adults, especially people who are going through a mental health crisis. What about the risks for people in that situation?
Yeah, so, you know, across the U.S., most of the homicides are gun-related, like over 80%. Most suicides are actually gun-related as well. So we know that is a huge risk. But I would like to chime in on the young people using guns. Parents really have to know that most of the unintentional shootings are with people who are 24 years old and younger. Many of them are children. We've heard a lot about that this year, and the police chief talked about that earlier. But adolescents, too, because they are curious, they're impulsive, and they feel invincible. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of adolescents who are shot are actually shot by someone who's their own age, who's also a friend or a family member, like an older brother. And so to have those guns available is just not a good thing in households.
We're talking about a new safe firearm storage program, how it works, and how it could help keep your loved ones safe. What do you think? If you're a gun owner, would you use the program? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. So, Councilmember Albee, tell us about this program. How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. So, it's purely voluntary. So, the concept is you will be able to call Cincinnati Police Department and schedule a time to come in and check your gun in, almost, to have CPD store it. And they will store it at no cost for you up to 6 months. So you can store it with them for a day. You can store it with them up to that full 6 months. Again, if you think about some of the risks we've talked about, if someone in your home is struggling with a mental health crisis and you're worried about them harming themselves, if you're hosting kids over for the holidays, they get the gun out of the house for that, or maybe you're leaving town and you don't want your gun stolen. So for any reason under the sun, now through the entirety of the year, you can come and have your gun stored at CPD. Once it's stored, you'll sign a waiver there to drop it off, and then the Cincinnati Police Department will discharge the gun, and that is actually part connects with our Crime Gun Intelligence Center. So we'll be looking to make sure that that's not a crime gun. We'll do a background check and check the registration, all that stuff. So again, this is for responsible gun owners looking for that safe out-of-home gun storage option.
And Vice Mayor Kearney, what happens if somebody says, hey, I want my gun stored safely, but I, for whatever reason, I don't want the police to discharge the firearm? Is that a deal breaker for this program?
That's a deal breaker for the program for sure. But let me just say, there still are everywhere around the city free locks. People can lock their guns up. They can put them in lock boxes or put the locks on them. Every police headquarters has free locks. Libraries have three free locks. Rec commissions, the Cincinnati Recreation Centers have free locks. There, you know, community events with free locks. Dr. Kodagal is over here saying Children's Hospital has free locks. Free locks are everywhere. So you can lock it up. Mm-hmm. You can lock up your gun. And people who have guns in the car, in their car, please put a lock on them, because half of the guns that we see at our CJ Center are stolen out of cars. So lock those things up and lock them up in your home. But I love this new program that the council member Albie has of actually being able to get them out of your home. When you have grandkids coming to visit, or, you know, friends coming over for a sleepover, you know, your children invites their friends over, you know they're going to find that gun. I mean, that's just how kids mm-hmm. are, right? So get it out of the house. If somebody's suicidal or, you know, having another mental health issue, get the gun out of the house. And so I think that is really a life-saving program.
Councilmember Ali, what are some of the other questions that people would need to answer when they take part in this program, that, you know, they make an appointment, they have their gun discharged, all that? Is there a questionnaire? What's the process there?
Oh, I should have brought my physical copy. There is a waiver you sign out, so you have to provide the serial number and have your, you know, your name and all that information, because they'll make sure that you're the gun owner, right? So that's turning the gun in to be stored. And same thing on the pickup too, making sure that's the gun owner coming to retrieve the gun as well. So it's all of that information, and we're really asking folks to do that paperwork ahead of time. Cincinnati Police Department has a whole website page set up for this. You can also call 311, and the 311 operators can walk you through the process. Because we want you to schedule ahead of time, get that paperwork done, and really have that handoff be as safe as possible.
And can somebody store more than one gun?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
store them all.
And I think Dr. Kodagal can probably speak to, you know, science shows us having the gun out of the house is the safest option.
Yeah, talk to us about that, Dr. Kodagal.
It definitely is. I mean, I think there's lots of ways to think about safe storage, and Vice Mayor Kearney mentioned, right, cable locks and trigger locks and lock boxes and all of these things that we can use for safe storage. But the best way is to not have it there. And so I think we were talking about unintentional injuries in kids, but unfortunately, we also see a fair amount of self-harm and suicidal-related injuries in children as well. And firearms are used in almost half of self-harm-related incidents for kids and adolescents. And so really important to recognize that when you have a loved one who may be in a mental health crisis, this is an opportunity to help keep them safe while they get the care that they need in order to be in a better place.
Is that something you see a lot at Cincinnati Children's, children and adolescents who've used guns to harm themselves in that way?
It is, unfortunately, and they're tragic incidents, and they affect, you know, like all gun violence that we see, they affect not just the patient who's injured, but also their family, their siblings, their loved ones, and their community. And we recognize that there's a really ripple effect to the harm that individuals experience as a result of firearm-related injuries.
So what do you think of this program?
I think it's fantastic. We're always looking for opportunities to help people keep their kids and their family and their loved ones safe. And I think we have seen that there are firearms stolen and that those are involved in other incidents. And we see them in CJIC and other places. And I think it's a great opportunity for people who want to be proactive about the weapons that they have in their home to make sure that they're safe when there's a reason to do so.
Yeah. Councilmember Albie, so if somebody decides, hey, I'm going to store my gun with this program, how do you get it back?
So you call again and you make your appointment. They'll run a background check again. Again, we're making sure the person who dropped it off is the gun owner and that same person's the one coming to pick it up. So we're really trying to make this an option for that responsible gun owner. I've gotten a couple questions of like, who would do this? The fact is, we know there are people in the community who would do this. I have friends myself. I've gotten a phone call, you know, from a parent reaching out whose kid was in outpatient mental health treatment and they were worried about self-harm. And they were like, what do we do with this gun? Where do we take it? I've had a friend who's been going through a really tough divorce who was really struggling with their mental health. And I texted them being like, hey, do you need someone to hold on to your gun for you while you deal with this, tough period in your time, period in your life. So we know that this is out there. In fact, as we were putting this program together, we reached out to our 988 Crisis Suicide Helpline and actually asked them, hey, what are the phone calls you're getting? And our suicide helpline operators get phone calls of people who are calling saying, I've got a gun, I'm thinking about hurting myself. And they're reaching out because they want that help, right? They want to live, they want to be saved. So today, I'm not the expert here, but the operators are trained to walk them through, okay, put the gun down, walk 20 feet away. Do you have a friend who can hold on to the gun for you? So that type of outreach exists. This program is really just formalizing it and making it so that there is this built-in option where someone can take their gun, it's going to be safe, and we're going to make sure everyone has that safe option.
Yeah. Vice Mayor Kearney, what are you hearing from folks? Do you hear a lot of positive feedback about this?
Oh, absolutely. And this is working, as Councilmember Albee mentioned earlier, it's working in cities across the country. We really appreciate you and other media folks getting the word out, because that's really the key. This is a no-judgment kind of program. People don't have to be afraid to turn in their gun. There's no judgment there, but it's really just showing how responsible people are, and it saves lives. Get the gun, as Dr. Kodagaw said, get that gun out the house. So that's really important. And this way, you get it back, it's voluntary, it's temporary, but it saves lives, and it really keeps your family and your loved ones safe.
We do have a caller on the line. Let's talk to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. Thanks so much for calling. What's your question or comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment in support of the program you're talking about. I'm a gun owner. I have a lot of guns, but while my kids were young, I took all of them out of the house and stored them at my parents' house just so they were out of the house, really for their safety. I mean, it's likely, even though they were in a safe with locks, I just was concerned that they would find them, their friends would find them. So I really think it's great that you're talking about this program.
Jeff, I really appreciate your calling as a gun owner. So as a gun owner, how would you recommend this program, or advising people about this program? How do you make it resonate with other gun owners who might think, well, I'm safe, I've got my guns at home? What would you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, if statistics would change people's behavior, no one would smoke. So I don't know the statistics about gun violence for your own children make the story, but I mean, the data is pretty clear that if you have guns in the house, your children, that's the most dangerous thing for them. They are the most at risk. So I don't have any personal stories, but I think, the gun violence we see in the world says you don't want kids to have access to guns, and they're going to find them, and they're going to get through the locks and the safes and everything because they've got the time to do it.
Well, thanks, Jeff. We really appreciate your call and appreciate your approach to your children's safety. We're going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll hear about a proposal that could result in closing some of Ohio's poorest performing schools. This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about a new safe firearm storage program in the city of Cincinnati. My guests are Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney, Cincinnati City Council Member Anna Albee, and Cincinnati Children's Director of Trauma Services, Dr. Mira Kodagal. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. We did get an email from Steve, who writes, will there be a follow-up news release after the first of the year from the members of council as to how many people actually participate in this voluntary program? And so,
that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, our public safety committee, that would be a great committee. Scotty Johnson is the chair to come and report on how it's going. So the more we get the word out, the more people can use it. I have a personal story. I can tell you, several years ago, I went to a tree planting for a young girl. I think she was in third grade, who had been killed by her younger sister accidentally, unintentionally, mm-hmm. because she was playing with a gun. I mean, the trauma that you see from something like that is just horrible. So you think about a program like this where the gun would not even have been in the house, I mean, would have just really saved a lot of trauma and definitely saved that girl's life.
Sure. We were talking before the break about getting your gun back if you're part of this program. Is there any instance where someone couldn't get their gun back if they participated in this program? You know, some of the police run the check to return it. Is there any instance where it'd be like, sorry, you don't get this back?
Yeah. So, you know, we talked through various scenarios as we were working on this. And one would be if, for whatever reason, between the time of turning in the gun and pick up, you'd maybe been convicted of a violent felony, right? Those type of instances. So we do reserve the space for our Cincinnati Police Department to do some on-the-spot problem solving. I'm really grateful for our Cincinnati Police Department for realizing that. And in the same way, we obviously want folks to fill out the form ahead of time and schedule the appointment, but we also know if someone misses the memo on that, that's okay. Our police department will be flexible and really do that on-the-spot problem solving to be able to account for, you know, if someone does walk in and wants to store their gun, they will make that work.
Yeah. And we were talking before the break, too, about the locks that are available, the lock boxes that are available. And Vice Mayor, for free.
Yeah. Right. They're everywhere for free. Right.
And Vice Mayor Carney, I think you mentioned that so many people keep guns in their cars unlocked.
Right.
Is that a good idea to keep a gun in your car at all? I mean, that doesn't seem like...
No, because they get stolen. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. People break into cars all the time and steal guns. Our police chief, I think, said like 50% of the guns that end up on the street are stolen out of cars. And so, yeah, don't keep the gun in the car. And wherever your gun is, put a lock on it.
Yeah, and just to add to that, part of the car break-ins, it also means that guns are getting in the hands of younger and younger kids, right? So as we think about gun violence prevention more generally, making sure that your gun's locked up in your car if you come down for a Bengals game or FCC game, we want you to come enjoy the game. Either leave the gun at home or have a lockbox in the car, because the worst case scenario is car gets broken into and now that gun is on the street, maybe in the hands of a kid.
Mm. We do have another caller on the line. Hi, Susan. Thanks so much for calling. What's your question?
Is this just during the holidays or is this like a year-round thing?
Year-round.
I moved recently and I didn't find out until I was at my new place and unpacking that the movers stole 5 of my firearms.
Ooh. Oh, my goodness. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that question. It is a year-round program. It's also open to folks who maybe don't even live in the city of Cincinnati. So if you're in Anderson or even Northern Kentucky, you can use the service. And your example there is actually one of the examples of if you're traveling, you don't want your gun stolen or moving and same thing. This is also a safety protection, just keeping your firearm from being stolen. So I'm really sorry that happened to you.
Yeah. I know, that's awful. I was going to say, Chief Thiege said this morning that if someone comes to turn in their gun in the voluntary temporary program, she will not turn them away just because they don't live within Cincinnati. She said, I would just not turn anybody away.
Great.
So I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. Thanks so much for calling, Susan, and for asking that terrific question. Let me ask you this, Councilmember Albee, I don't mean to be blunt, but what is the incentive for gun owners? We were talking to that previous caller who's a gun owner who really wanted to be responsible, but I think, you know, most gun owners think they are responsible gun owners, that they feel like they're storing their guns in a safe way, a responsible way. So what do you think it'll take, or what will be the incentive to really get people to participate in this if they already think, hey, I have my gun at home for a reason. I want it with me. You know, what's the pitch? How do you get them to participate?
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate our caller earlier, Jeff. I think what he talked about was his kids being safe in the home. So really, so we're looking at this as a public health initiative. And I'm looking here at Dr. Kodigal because I do think about the conversations our doctors are having with patients, pediatricians having with parents to do that education piece of, hey, if your family member's in a mental health crisis, having a gun in the home can increase the likelihood of suicide by 3 times. It can triple the rate, you know, the risk there. So if you're a parent who has a teenager who's really struggling and you're worried about self-harm, you know, having that conversation with your pediatrician and saying, all right, this is an option to get your gun out of the house. So really making sure it's really seen as a safety first. But I'd be interested, Dr. Kodigal, since you've had these type of conversations of how we talk with parents and patients around gun safety.
I think the biggest thing is we want to meet individuals, patients, and families where they are and what's going to work for them. It doesn't work for me to say you must do X or you must do Y, right? We have to really say, here are the options. Tell me what's most important to you and how can we align with that? And that's why we really want to emphasize that there are lots of options for safe storage. Thinking about cable locks or lock boxes, things that you might use at home for those who do want to keep their weapons at home. Keeping them locked and unloaded is also really important. Storing the ammunition separately from the weapon as a mechanism to prevent unintentional related injuries. And then if you're really in a place where, as Jeff was talking about, right, I know my kids are curious and they're going to find it anyway, or they're going to be able to get through the lockbox, and you really just want to have it out of the house, this is another option. So we just want to meet families where they are and provide them all of the options that might allow them to pick something that keeps their family and their loved ones and their community safe.
And then, question the houses that your kids are going to visit,
Yes.
Kids go to visit friends, and then I would ask the parents, do you have a gun in the house? Where is it? Is it locked up? Can you get it out of the house? I mean, it's okay for us to ask each other those questions.
Yeah, it's a great part of what we try to do when we're doing firearm screening and counseling in the hospital is, do you want to talk about firearms that might be in your house or in the houses that your children visit, and recognizing that both of those are really important places.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I like to liken it to if your kid had a peanut allergy, you'd be like, hey, make sure the peanut butter is locked up
right.
and stored safely.
Yeah.
Right. In the same way, do you have a firearm? Okay. Is it locked up? Is it secured? And to be clear, secure, safe firearm storage is the gun is unloaded, locked up, and ammo stored separately.
Dr. Kodigal, one last question. You've talked about how you talk with patients, but what are your tips for having these conversations with each other, with family members? Sounds like the vice mayor has no trouble asking if her kids are going someplace. But for some people,
it feels
awkward, especially with family members, if you have a relative who's in law enforcement or, who has firearms. Mm-hmm. What is your tip for having that conversation?
I think the biggest part of these conversations is approaching them without judgment, mm-hmm. which is to say, it doesn't matter to me whether you choose to have a firearm or don't choose to have a firearm. That's your personal choice. But what we're trying to think about is how do we keep people safe? And I think most people have that same goal. So if you can meet people where they are and say, we're really concerned about your kid's safety. I'm not concerned about whether you have the firearm. I just want your kid to be safe and healthy and happy. And so meeting your family members, talking to them from a place of shared understanding and avoiding the judgment about whether they do or don't have a weapon.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Cincinnati City Council Member Anna Albee, Cincinnati Vice Mayor Jan Michelle Lemon Kearney, and Cincinnati Children's Director of Trauma Services, Dr. Mira Kodigal. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you
for getting the word out. Really appreciate it.
Up next, we'll hear about a proposed bill that could result in the closure of some of Ohio's poorest performing schools. This is Cincinnati Edition.